around it, he will.
It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Dowd.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with the Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Friday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. It is Football Friday in the state of Oklahoma. High school football kicked off in a couple of locations last night, all across the state tonight. Friday Night Lights are back. We got plenty on that. We're going to pick a state champion in each class. Jared, were you ready for this?
Yeah, I've already done that.
Probably already had your work done. So we're going to pick at the end of the show who's going to win each class in the state football championship. Talk a little bit about what happened last night. Bixby, rumors of their demise in 6A1 are a little bit overstated. Games tonight, Elk City and Altus, Merritt and Hinton, some others around the area. We'll break some of that down as well. Rough go yesterday afternoon for the Elkett softball team. Tell you what happened over in Weatherford. And, of course, it's Friday, so it's a financial Friday with our man Scott Garrison right here in studio with us. That's what we've got on tap for the show today. Give us a call, shoot us a text if you want to talk about something else. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text, talk about anything else, or you can talk about the things I laid out as well. If you're going to be outside the listening area at some point, there's a couple of ways to stay in touch with the show live. Log on to KADSAM.com, or even better, download the Paragon Communications app. The app is free, and it's got all kinds of goodies. Three radio stations. It's got the Penny News. Check out all the deals online, thepennynews.com, or go pick up a free copy of the Penny News that's hanging around anywhere that you're at, from basically Oklahoma City to Amarillo. It's also got Big Elk TV and Paragon TV. We're going to talk about those games coming up, but tonight, Big Elk TV, it's the Elks and Altus. On Paragon TV, you've got Merritt at Hinton, and then Hollis will join the fray next week down there on Paragon TV. Also, the Skinny on Sports podcast is available to you. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and check out what we had to say about a certain topic on a certain day if you missed it. Find that on iTunes or KADSAM.com. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Are you sure?
I'm good. I'm good. It's game day. I'm excited. I'm frazzled a little bit. Just
tense.
Getting everything ready. But I got, hey, man, it's only 9:07. We got plenty of time to get
that's
ready.
That's what I'm worried about.
It's not
about
a road game.
That's what I'm worried about. Also,
hey, you know, got food trucks coming tonight.
Yes.
Out there at the tailgate.
Yes.
Do you remember who they are? I saw it.
I do. I know one of them is
Browns.
Hold on.
I'm almost positive Browns is one of them.
Elk City.
I'm not sure. I couldn't
tell
you.
I saw this.
I just always know not to even bother getting anything to eat before I go to the game. Cause
oh, no, yeah.
There's going to be great stuff outside.
There's plenty of food there for us, too, during and or before and during. Dang it. I just had it. I remember Santiago's Tacos was going to be there.
And that's who the other one was. I think it's Santiago and Browns.
There you go. Oh, here we go. Here we go.
Smash Burgers.
Here we go. It will be Browns, Santiago, and no. Browns, Santiago's, and am I saying it right?
Heladitos.
Heladitos Ice Cream Truck.
Whoa.
Maybe a new one in town.
Heladitos.
So we got some options there. Browns Grill, Santiago's Tacos, and Heladitos Ice Cream Truck.
And you know, we spoke a little bit too soon about the temperatures. All of a sudden, it's gone from like 87 at game time to like 95.
Well, that's how it works.
So Heladito's Ice Cream Truck might be a good way to cool us down.
All you Altus fans sitting there glaring into the sun.
You know, that's an advantage that I think is a little bit overlooked at times, especially when you think about the college game in the afternoons.
Oh, absolutely.
Where the press box is on the side, the shade, especially in the early season. I mean, if you sit on that east side of the stands in Norman, it gets hot at about 5.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas over there on the old west side, it comes down with the shade.
That's why
it's tolerable.
Back in the day, that's why. Now I think it's more in the south end zone, and then the suites on that east side. But back in the day, those high roller donors were on that West Side for that very reason.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Still is.
Yeah.
There's some still there.
I tell you what, talking about, so I thought today we might talk a little bit about NIL deals.
Okay.
Is it legal in Oklahoma for high school kids to have an NIL deal yet?
I don't think so.
No.
It is not.
We've looked into it.
Okay. Because I was going to say, you know, some of these food trucks might need to talk to some of these guys. But hey, don't do it because it's not legal. So,
Yeah.
Now, especially when you see how big some of these dudes are wearing the brown and white tonight. It might be a pretty good endorsement of the products out there on the street and on the street the food truck.
Interviewed a couple of them yesterday. I'm telling you what, man, they put in the work. They look big.
Yeah, my 120-pound son stands next to somebody like Levy, and it's just like he just disappears completely.
All right, so what about
I'm glad
NIL?
They're on our side.
So NIL. I mean, have you guys? Of course. Probably your favorite and my favorite. Can we all say it? What was your favorite NIL deal last year? This should not require thought for a Sooner fan, Skinny.
Oh, I was going to say.
For last year or right now?
For a football player?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought for anybody.
The Hooters one is pretty good right now.
I don't know how you could ever think that there was a better NIL deal than the Gopher 2 Kansas Jayhawk.
After they
beat Texas.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
What did he get?
I don't remember. But
he got something.
He got the 2-point conversion.
It was Subway, wasn't it?
Or
a local sandwich shop.
I don't remember which one. It was one of the chain like Chili's style. I don't remember what it was, but anyway. So I'll be honest. The game day, you know, the Big Elks and everything. I kind of forgot to get
Applebee's.
Some things ready. Applebee's.
Jared Casey and Applebee's.
Go for two. Oh, I always go for two. That was fantastic. All you Longhorn fans out there, I just wanted to bring that back up again. So anyway, Google, everybody at home, you've got to, and at work, you know, when the boss isn't looking, you got to Google NIL ads because these are unbelievably hilarious. There's one with a defensive lineman, I think, from Kentucky. For a pediatric dentist, and he's knocking soda pops out of kids' hands. And
you know, that DeColdest Crawford.
DeColdest,
is a great one because he's with a heating and cooling company out of Lincoln, Nebraska, or up in Nebraska. I guess it's Lincoln, probably. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. Yeah, Josh Paschal.
Yeah.
Is the Kentucky guy.
Okay. Yeah, it's fantastic. You've got he's slamming drinks out of kids' hands, and I think at one point he's holding kids down in the chair.
Yeah, here it is. I'm watching it right now.
I'll have to look it up.
Yeah.
That Bijan mustard, you've seen that one?
Instead of Dijon mustard down in Texas.
I haven't seen that.
Bijan Robinson. But they don't say Bijan mustard. They say Bijan.
Yeah, something or other.
Robinson mustard. I don't know. It just would have been easier to call it Bijan mustard. He has his own mustard with his face on it.
He just goes out in the car and slams down a bunch of bad stuff for their teeth. Oh, my goodness.
So one of the ones that blew my mind, how about a kid at Texas Southern basketball? Guess how much he's getting paid?
How much?
$2 million.
How is that possible? What is the appeal for
it's,
that
It's
guy
some website that he's advertising, but guess who his daddy is?
Uh-oh.
How about Master P?
Oh, well, there you go. Oh, yes. Okay.
So it's probably Master P's website, and he just found a way to pay his son $2
million. There you go.
I don't know. I didn't look very much into it.
That may be
well,
one
the loopholes.
You know how, like, back
got
when you were a kid,
big,
you got,
right?
When you were, like, a kid, and you got, like, $400 from your parents, and then you just had to give it back to them for, like, a tax thing. Maybe Master P's doing that on a little bit grander scale.
A little bit of a bitter note to your...
I mean... Listen, when you're 8 years old and you see $400, you're like, is that like a million?
And then they took it back.
And then you just take it right back out of your – I mean, I don't even think I got out of the drive-through of the bank parking lot before it was already back in my dad's wallet. I'm like, what? I thought it was even weirder that we circled around and he just put it back in the bank. How do they not know what's going on?
Oh, geez. Yeah, we're not – you better watch out for those 87,000 new IRS agents, man.
Hey, listen, it's not coming back on me. I was just independent. No, but seriously, the one thing that I think when this first started, if people immediately thought of like big national ad campaigns, but what I think a lot of them, especially outside of say football stars, it's more targeted in that a lot of these athletes have humongous social media followings.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's a pair of twins from Fresno State. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're making a killing. Twin volleyball players.
That's right. That's exactly right. And they're selling like sports bras and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, so dads, if you have daughters that are twins playing high school sports, getting ready for college, you know,
you got to wait till college for now.
Unless you're in Texas.
I'd say that's another question, because I'm convinced, fully convinced, that now it worked out for UT with him down there now. But if you'll remember, 2 years ago, as supposed to be a high school senior, Quinn Ewers left early and went to Ohio State. And I'm convinced that law in Texas changed because of that instance
absolutely.
Of Quinn Ewers leaving.
Yeah, absolutely. That's just awful. I don't even understand leaving before your senior year's up. I mean, my gosh, you got the rest of your life to live, kid. I don't see how it's going to make much of a difference you going to school one semester early to work out with the collegiate guys instead of your guys.
Well, it's clear why he did.
It was a million reasons why.
Yeah. I mean, that's hard to tell a kid, stay in school for a year or go get $1 million.
Yeah.
So in your mind, how long does this last with this big money? Because for all those stories, you also see like Miles Brennan at LSU, who got all that money, was there for all those years, and never stepped foot on the field. So how much impact could he have had for the company that gave him the money?
Yeah. Yeah. Schwab Meats. I mean, did they sign
Rattler?
Caleb to a 4-year deal? Did they sign him to a 3-year deal? I mean, what was the deal for that? And then Rattler, yeah. He got like two Corvettes.
Two cars or something, yeah.
Yeah. And then he headed out. Peace out. Load those cars up. Let's take them to South Carolina.
Yeah, I think he had to give those
back. I think he did give them back.
But then he got some there.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
No, but I think it is an interesting thing, because this feels like, to me at least, on the surface, people are thinking, oh, yeah, big. But it's, I think the people that are really going to benefit are the lower-level sports that have those social media followings that are able to tap into the web-based money, not the big corporate
money.
Well,
I saw one analyst was saying that this is really going to favor places like Oklahoma and Oklahoma State, because there is no pro football team. You know, you're going to have major endorsement deals coming in all across Oklahoma for these Oklahoma stars, because there's not a Dak Prescott for your car dealership ad.
Which kind of goes against what we've talked about, thinking that, you know, you're about to see Miami, USC, those types of glitz and glamour programs really benefit from being able to do this NIL stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, a small market and a large market in the college game. You know, as far as locales are concerned, Miami. Yeah,
if you're trying
LA.
To reach out to if you're trying to reach out to Kansas State fans, you're not going to hire a professional football player.
That's right.
You're going to hire somebody that by the way, I heard you guys talking about the running backs yesterday. How do we keep forgetting about that kid? I can't even remember the kid's name.
Deuce Vaughn?
Yeah.
I know.
I forget about him every year, and then every year I'm like, this guy is fantastic.
Well, when you watch him play, the linebackers seem to forget about him too sometimes. He's just right there in the middle. I'm like, why is anybody covering this guy?
Yeah. I seem to remember another little 5-foot-tall running back from Kansas State running all over my Sooners in the Big 12 championship 1 year.
Yep.
2003.
Yeah, I was there.
Darren Sproles.
Yeah, I was there freezing my
Is he still playing in the NFL? Did he finally retire?
I mean, he'd been there.
I think he retired at 68 years old.
And right in time for another one to be coming in and Deuce Vaughn after the end of this year.
Hey, speaking of NIL, and I just saw this morning, and I'm glad I did, and you're here. Did you see what Ricky Williams said, former running back at Texas?
I did not.
He had an opinion of this NIL and the tons of money coming in, flowing
into his
company.
Was he in a wedding dress when he was talking about it?
No, it was actually the first sane thing he has said since I can't even remember when. He suggested that money for those kids should go into like a trust, and they shouldn't touch it until they're gone, until they're out of school.
Yeah, the problem is they're all over 18 years old.
Yeah.
So, good luck.
But his opinion was they can't go and get corrupted by that money while they're in school. Go and earn that money, and then as soon as they graduate, yeah, here's your check, son. Thanks for your work.
I do agree, but, I mean, what are you going to do? Next thing you know, you got a Britney Spears situation on your hands.
Oh, yeah,
yeah.
I think it's a not a bad idea. No, but you're right. Legally, I don't know if that could happen, but it's not a bad idea. And I've had suggestions of, okay, if you when we talk about companies who want to sponsor a kid, and then, you know, what happens? A kid, like you mentioned Brennan down there at LSU, Rattler leaving OU, you know, we have to give the cars back, all this stuff. Is it legal, I'm asking, is could they put in a contract, okay, this is what we're going to pay. Yeah, this is you come represent us, do a couple of commercials, but in the contract it says if you choose to opt out of a bowl game, we get like 50% back. Or if you choose to leave this school, then we get it all back. Stuff like that. You think that's legal?
I would.
Because now we're getting into that pro contract kind
of
discussion.
You can put that stuff in there. Of course, I mean, the fact of the matter is, if you gave, and I wasn't a bad kid by any means at 18 years old, but if you gave me $50,000 in September at 18 years old, I would be looking for a loan by November.
Okay, it'll be forgiven.
I'd have an $80,000 car, and I'd be looking for a loan by November.
I can't even imagine the damage I could have done to Cowboys with $50,000 in a semester.
That's a lot of dime beers.
Oh, my gosh. I can't even imagine. I would have thought I had multiple girlfriends that – weren't any of them.
But all joking freezers. Aside, though, I mean, you get these young guys with that much money. It's kind of scary.
It's not good.
It's kind of scary. Well, because of stuff like that. Are they going to be responsible with it? Or, you know? I mean, what are they going to do with it?
Yeah.
They're thinking, oh, I don't need to go to class. I got $50,000 in the bank.
I tell you what they're going to do with it.
I'll get more.
Exactly what we're all just thinking we would do with it when we were 18 years old.
And it's scary.
I mean, I didn't even have money in college, and it was still a toss-up between whether I was going to go to breakfast at 10 o'clock or I was going to go to class at 10 o'clock.
That's exactly right.
I'm sorry, Ron.
Now, at the end of the day, though, the contract thing is going to happen if it's not already. And I think that the choice now is going to be for the people that are giving the money. Are you going to do these contracts with these guys on a year-by-year basis? Or are you going to trust that 4 years is worth? I don't think you'll see hardly anybody, if you actually got to see the contracts, that would be 4 years. Hell, their scholarship isn't even 4 years. It's year-by-year, too, with the way this thing happens. So I think that's absolutely, if it's not already happening, it's going to start happening because these guys are getting burned paying a bunch of money.
I'll tell you what, you talk about somebody that got some poor advice. How much money do you think Kennedy Brooks would make this year if he was playing tailback at OU?
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
It's very true. But at the end of the day, sometimes you just get tired of school. I personally never did. All right, Scotty.
It brings up another good point. It could be an incentive instead of some kid who's on the fringe of being a draft pick at any round or staying for a fourth year and final year of eligibility. He was like, well, man, I might stay because I can make more money.
He could have made $500,000 to $1 million easy this year at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And I don't have his contract details in front of me, but there's no way.
I don't even know if
it's $1 million
made a team.
Bucks.
No.
He was on – I saw him with the Eagles.
Yeah, I don't know.
Was
sure.
he?
Eagles?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can tell you that practice squad money is about $70,000 a year, I think.
Let's see here.
So –
and that.
Well, look out for Kennedy Brooks this fall.
That's what someone said?
Yeah, 2 months ago.
Well, I hope he does good.
Yeah, sure.
Because
sure.
I enjoyed watching him, but I sure would like it better if he was still in Crimson and Cream.
Sure, there's no doubt about that. Tell us how we can get involved if we need some financial assistance from you.
Yeah, come on down to see me. 124 North Main, right there on the corner. And we'll talk about all your hopes and plans and dreams and what keeps you up at night.
All right, man. Thanks so much for joining us.
It's
a Financial Friday with Scott Garrison.
Go Big Elks, go Oilers.
Ah, there you go. Look at him. A true
True businessman.
A true Western Oklahoman. Only thing.
You
notice he didn't say Sayre or Cordell because they're playing each other, and he didn't want to make either of those towns mad.
That's a good idea.
I liked how that ended. Scott Garrison with Garrison Financial. Also, Scott@SoonerWealth.com is how you can get a hold of him. Full financial planning, shop the open market to bring the best value on life insurance and investments. We'll tell you a lot more of what he can do for you as the show moves on. Right quick, yesterday, the Elkett softball team lost their first district game over in Weatherford. Final score of 4-1. Man, I was watching it. Weatherford got the bases loaded and nobody out in the third, in the bottom of the third inning. The Elkett's wiggled off the hook, only giving up one run. And with 2-3-4 coming up in the next inning, Riley Wyatt led off with a single in the top of the fourth. And I thought, okay, here they go. The bats are going to get unleashed, you know, sneaking out of that inning, only giving up a run when it could have been 3 or 4 is probably going to be the thing that turns this game around. And we've seen the Elkettes already this season struggle early in games, but then, you know, the runs come in bunches.
Sure.
Just never did. Weatherford's pitcher struck out 12, did a great job of keeping those Elkett bats at bay. The game was tied at 1-1 in the fifth. Weatherford got one in the bottom of the fifth, two in the bottom of the sixth, and they beat Elk City 4-1. So that creates a giant logjam at the top of the standings in the district, 4A1, as you've got Weatherford. You've got, let's see, make sure Cash and Tuttle didn't play. Otherwise, you've got a four-way tie atop the district standings with Elk City, Weatherford, Cash, and Tuttle. We talked about it, and that's exactly what's happened. We talked about it after the Tuttle win. That win creates more scenarios and more big games. But it also gives you a mulligan, because the truth is everybody's already lost once. Woodward's actually with one loss too, so they could be technically in that tie as well at the top of the district standings in the loss column. But it does give the Elkettes a mulligan that they used yesterday, in that if they win the rest of their district games, they'll be the district champ, because they'll be the only one left standing with one loss.
Yeah, man, this district, safe to say, could be the best in the state in 4A with that logjam at top.
It's strong. It's very strong.
Yeah. So circle September 15th, Weatherford comes here. It seems like all the home teams are protecting their fields there. And, of course, you got to go to Tuttle on the first. So, I'm looking at this. Can you believe half the season's already done?
Now, listen, next week is going to be huge, because Tuesday Cash is here. Thursday you're at Tuttle. And then the following Tuesday you go to Cash. And we talked about that back after the Tuttle game. You know, five of those next seven were going to be the top four playing the top four, or at least Elk City playing all of those other top four teams at that time in the district standing. So, this is the gauntlet that the Elkettes are going to have to run through here right now. After that, lightens up just a little bit, but you're right, the 15th of September with Weatherford coming back for the return matchup. But yeah, everybody's kind of holding their own at home, and so maybe it comes down to who can break through on the road.
Yeah, someone's got to steal one on the road. Yeah. I'm just still blown away that it's half the season's already done. By the amount of games, it looks that way. Of course, I'm not counting the postseason, but, man, time flies.
Yeah. Played 17 of the 30.
That's crazy.
Or ish.
The Pioneer Festival, I'm going to guess about 3 games.
Yep, that's right.
Two or three.
About there. We'll be back with some high school football talk next.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber, or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs, as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings, or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Thanks again to Scott Garrison there at Garrison Financial for joining us.
Yes.
I was trying to find what you were talking about here.
I had a question. We're going to dive into high school football from the Facebook Messenger. We don't get a lot of those on that one, but pops up when we do. Who do you got? Sarah and Cordell. They play tonight and open up. You just mentioned them. And, of course, Elk City announces tonight. Well, I think we know which one team we're leaning towards. Elk City and Altus.
I don't think we can make a pick.
No, we can't.
We're calling the game. I don't think it's allowed to make a pick.
We got to be Kirk Herbstreit on this one. Can't pick that one. Sarah Cordell, though, that's a fun game to open with.
You know, it seems like over the last couple of years, when these two teams have played and they have kind of opened with each other when they're not in the same district, it's been a super-duper low-scoring game.
Yeah. So yeah, you're right.
You know, like when we'll check the scores and it's like 7-6 in the fourth quarter or something crazy like that. So I will say that maybe the first 1-14 wins.
Wait, where's this at? Is it at Cordell?
No, this one's at Sayre.
Is that Sayre? Okay. Yeah, I'd agree with that. I think it's going to be a low scoring affair. And, I might give the edge to Sarah because it's at home. I don't know if it's going to get to 14, to be quite honest.
It seems like those games have been really low scoring, just off of memory, the last few years when they've played. Really low scoring.
I'll say something like 13-6, 13-10, something in that category.
That's a pout button here. Let's look.
So that's where I'm leaning. I'll say Sarah.
Okay, yeah, last year, 13-6.
Oh, was it? I knew it was low like that.
I think the year before it might have even been lower.
Yeah, so I'll stick with that. Stick with the trend. I don't think we're going to see a lot of fireworks. Maybe a defensive battle. And because of that, Sayre, I'll give them the slight edge.
6-3.
6-3. Yeah. So let's stick with that low score there.
Sayre with the new head coach, Coach Hickson. People around here remember that name. He was at Woodward for a time. Let's see, the year before. Let's go one more year.
Okay.
18-0.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, not a lot of fireworks have been in that game. Let's talk about the Elks and Altus. Elk City returns a bunch of the guys that block people. They don't return very many of the guys that touched the football last year. Cooper Garbarino comes in as kind of the leading returner as far as the offense is concerned with the ball in his hands. And that was in a limited role. I think he had like 6 catches. For over 140 or 8 catches for 143, ran it 6 times for 100 yards. The one thing that you'll notice there is those averages are off the charts. I know he had a touchdown of over 70 catching and receiving a year ago. So the big play, and we saw him make one in the scrimmage against El Reno, coming from one of those wing back spots where he would have scored from about 60 on the one play where he went away from us. So. You know, he's a guy that's going to be counted on. Obviously, Levy Owens coming off the knee injury last year. He's going to be a workhorse, going to have to be kind of a workhorse. I think especially early on as the Elks get comfortable with running this new flex bone type offense against people that aren't them, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so, as Coach Maynard said the other day, keeping the ball off the ground would be a big plus. And being able to win that game tonight. The good news is for the Elks is the defense returns a ton of production from last year with those guys up front, with Gage Eastman, Trace Decker. I think you might see Blake Redd play a huge role this year in keeping guys off of the linebackers, because it looks to me like the linebackers need to be the strength. Moyer looked pretty good the other day. Sammy, Levy's back there. Alonzo Gino played, Catch Gino played, Jaden Wynn played. I mean, it seemed like every play, Braxton Robertson was out there as well. There was just a lot of guys in and out. And I think, especially for Levy, on one side of the ball or the other, somebody's going to have to give him a little bit of a break because he's going to carry the ball a lot on offense, mm-hmm. and also be one of the guys in the middle of the linebacking core. So there's going to need to be depth there to give some guys some rest, especially early on when it's hot.
Yeah, we're going to be learning a lot of new names tonight on both sides of the ball, with especially on the skill side on the offense. But you know, going back to the offense, and we keep calling it a change of the offense. In talking to some of the players lately, they'll tell you there's not much of a change schematically, especially along the line.
Right.
Blocking schemes and stuff like that. So, you know, we're doing a lot of different things, but there's a lot of familiarity there. So that kind of put my worries at ease. And even hearing Coach talk about that too, that, you know, some people might worry, okay, new coach, new philosophy, new offense. Well, is it really? Is it really a new offense? Because, again, those guys, I think it's a brilliant way. If you want to make a change, we'll keep it familiar and ease into it. And I think that's what we saw during that scrimmage last week, and we're going to see it tonight with some success.
And as he said, he being Coach Maynard in here, it's just a different way to present a lot of the same concepts. So
right.
And it did look. I mean, there you didn't see a ton of times. Really, I thought in the scrimmage – The times where you saw some El Reno guys in the backfield were more on pass plays versus run plays. It felt like on the runs, the line of scrimmage was moving away from the ball.
Yeah, there's a push there.
There was definitely a push, and a lot of that is why, you know, it felt like every time Levy touched it, it was either somewhere between 5 and 10 yards each time that he got the ball. So I think that, you know, it's going to look different, maybe more than it is different for those guys that are doing it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Alta Springs guys with speed. Quarterback is sophomore Garrett Gribble. Two running backs. And listen, these two teams are going to look exactly the same in a lot of the plays because they really kind of are the same in a lot of the plays. So Gribble will be the quarterback. Tucker Taft and Eric Kirby would be kind of the fullback slash running back that's going to be right behind the quarterback. Some of the wingbacks that will play, Keith and Kellison, Nathan De Los Santos, our guys with speed. They ran about six different guys in those positions against Weatherford in that scrimmage, maybe even seven or eight. Defensively, you notice 50 a lot. It's Gray Winsett on the defensive line. Also, Brody Rogers was another guy that's a defensive end, number 13. 88 was Tate Duncan. Just different guys I noticed kind of pop off the screen. And then linebackers, Kelby Bates, he's number 33. He gets some time in the backfield on offense, but also the middle linebacker. He looks like a big old dude, big, strong, rangy, kind of fast guy. So Kelby Bates has got to look for. And then in the secondary, Colton Gillespie was around the ball a bunch, as was Cole Kuhn. So that's just a few of the guys maybe to look for Altus coming in here tonight. But as far as who wins this game, I mean, I think it comes down to, obviously, early on, it's don't turn the ball over. Penalties can be a problem, especially as the game moves along. Guys get tired on the offensive line. They end up kind of starting to reach out and grab people more than, you know, moving their feet and blocking. So those are a few of the things. And then something else that the Elks have had a real advantage, it's not the word I was looking for, but it was a huge advantage, is the kicking game. I harp and harp and harp and harp on this through the broadcast. I'm sure people get tired of me talking about it, but it is such a weapon.
Yes, it is.
To have a guy like Nike Cloud to kick it in the end zone more times than not. Because it's the truth of it is, with a lot of teams in high school football, it's hard for them to execute down in, down out, for 10 plays and 80 yards. It's a lot easier to do it for 4 plays and 50, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that's something else that the Elks are going to have to try to find. It looked like probably Garbarino, maybe the guy that does the kicking and the punting. But that's something that Elk City got a lot of advantage from the last few years.
Absolutely.
Especially, you know, obviously the defense. They got a lot of advantage there. And so you know, that's something that we'll see. That remains to be seen how that goes.
Yeah, it's always a part of the game that's overlooked. It's taken for granted where it's like, okay, here's the guy who's going to boom it down the field, and we'll start at the 20 or inside the 20s at most times. So, yeah, that's going to be a big question for me going in.
Well, and then punting. I mean, we sat there in Grove last year.
Yeah, kicking and punting.
Yeah, we sat there in Grove last year in the second round of the playoffs and watched them uncork one 6 yards and another one backwards.
Yes.
I mean, that's just
forget about that.
Yeah.
Couldn't believe what I was seeing.
And so then that was the point where you got to start going for fourth downs and around the 50 or so that you don't want to go for.
Right.
Because you don't trust your punter to kick it forward. And then, you know, you create a stop or two defensively that way in short fields. And you can see how that score got to the way, to where it got early there in that playoff game. So that's always something.
Yeah, I know it's a completely different level, but the mindset and the thinking of a coach is still there. Imagine how relieved Brent Venables is going to feel this year, because he has a preseason all-conference punter that could pin a team deep, and now he can put out that defense he's trying to mold. You know what I'm saying? Instead of at midfield, he could put him out there, like I said, around the 20 or inside of it,
sure,
and then really get creative with his defense and put his schemes to work. So, and it applies here at this level too. It changes the way you play call defensively, depending where that ball is on the field. If you got a good punter that can put you in that good position, again, it's overlooked a lot. So we'll be looking for it tonight.
No doubt about it. Other games, we mentioned Sarah and Cordell. Merritt will go to Hinton. The Comets are a preseason top 10 in every single poll. I think I've seen them as high as 6, as low as maybe 9, something like that. So that's a tough test for the Merritt Oilers to get their season started. Clinton gets Kingfisher inside the Tornado Bowl. Billy's already got his tickets. How many times do you think Billy will pull his tickets out today and look at them and then stick them back in his pocket?
Probably a few. Probably a few times.
Well, here's one, because he had to do it once to send us a picture of him.
Yeah. I didn't know that they did this at the high school level.
Oh, he's got the whole package.
The season ticket package, like you'd see all on one page, perforated, and you just tear it off and go to the game.
Very nice. And, by the way,
with the row and the seat number. Now I know where you sit, Billy.
Yeah, reserve seating.
That's pretty cool. But hey, I'll tell you what, Clinton's got a tough out tonight. I'm not going to mince words on this one. Kingfisher's still Kingfisher. And Clinton, what we've talked about, returning very little. But it is at the Tornado Bowl, and that's a big thing. I think home school or home field advantage is a big thing in high school. I've always said that. So I'm interested in that game, seeing how the defending champs come out.
Their schedule is super interesting. They host host Kingfisher tonight. They're not back inside the Tornado Bowl until October the 6th.
Wow.
They go a home game, 4 straight road games, but then they end 4 of 5 at home with Weatherford, Western Heights, Cash, and Woodward sandwiched around at Chickasha. That's something I was talking to another Clintonite yesterday. The schedules, at least the severity or the toughness of the schedules for Elk City and Clinton, are very similar.
Mm. Yeah, like, if you think about
after
it
they play each other,
yeah,
on the 30th of September, then it looks like things kind of lighten up a little bit. You mentioned Kingfisher tonight. Then they go to Bishop McGinnis, to Heritage Hall,
and those are two top 3 teams in their class. Right.
So that's a. I don't know if I've ever seen a high school schedule that had 4 straight road games.
Well, Clinton's never shied away from a tough schedule, road or away. You know, they've always had, you know, Heritage Hall. How many years in a row have they played them?
Quite a few.
Which
is odd that they'd all line up.
Yeah.
Right in a row like that.
And I was kind of alluding to this, but depending, you know, Clinton could start 1-2, but still be a top 5 team because, like, well, look who they lost to, or look how they lost to that team. And they did it both on the road and, you know, so they could be 1-2 and still be at the top of the rankings. But the thing that kind of worries me at this 4A level, because depth, we always talk about depth.
That's right.
And, you know, you play these tough teams, and there's the advantages of iron sharpens iron, and you're trying to get better. And I hate playing teams where you're just going to blow their doors off. I know you need it at times when you're rebuilding the program. We're past that here in Elk City. Clinton's never been there, but – but injuries and health. I hope that both teams escape that gauntlet, get in the district play, get to that Clinton Elk City game 100% healthy on both sides.
Or get past it. I mean, I think it's even get past
that
one.
That too, yeah.
It's, you know, that's a big reason why you see Hollis back in where they want to be in 8-man. They jumped up to 11-man, suffered a rash of injuries, and all of a sudden they're looking around, they don't have enough guys to play.
Yeah, that's right.
A couple years ago.
That's right.
And so then they dropped back down to 8-man, couldn't get in a district for 2 because they're already drawn up and had to be independent. Now they're finally back kind of where they're comfortable with their numbers. It's not to that extreme, obviously, in 4A, but quality is, you know, with the depth. And so that's, you know, as much fun as it's going to be, you're right. That is the one concern for both of those teams, is getting past game 5 with a squad that's – as fully intact as it can be with what you thought you'd have starting the season.
And that's why it's so important, and we've seen it here, and you know it's in Clinton, you know it's in Weatherford, the off-season programs, the pride programs of work. And as soon as that season's over in December, you're back at it, not even before Christmas starts, in the weight room and conditioning and constantly getting yourself, your body better to prepare for this gauntlet so you can come out healthy on the other end.
Yeah, and having –
it's not just about fall camp. It's a year-round thing.
Well, and having 78 guys like Coach Maynard talked about.
Oh, yeah.
Coming out for Elk City as opposed to 40 or 50.
Right.
Certainly helps in that regard. Last night I mentioned Bixby not having – you know, the rumors of their demise were a little bit overstated. They
started a little slow for them, but then I looked at the score this morning and go, not so fast, my friends.
They whipped up on Owosso, 49-14. Owosso, number three or four, depending on the poll, in 6A1. And so Bixby, 50th straight win, which just keeps on adding to their 11-man state record winning streak. Looking to make their ninth straight state finals appearance. Eight is already a record. They broke that record last year that they held with Clinton from 92 to 98 for the Red Tornado. So eight straight, looking for nine straight in 6A1. 49-14. One thing that I did notice, and I noticed people at the game mentioning Cole Adams, the receiver for Owosso that's committed to Alabama. They didn't start out playing in the second half, so that's something to look for down the road, not only for Owosso's season, but then also for that young man. I haven't seen anything this morning. I didn't even see anything last night, but there were comments of, we're halfway through the third quarter and we haven't seen Cole Adams on the field yet. So you wonder what happened there. But with the domination that Bixby showed, I don't know that makes any difference whatsoever in the outcome of the game. It's just something to look forward, look to throughout the season for Owosso.
Right.
Speaking of Owosso, speaking of Bixby, when we come back, will you pick either one of those to win 6A1?
Well, tune in to find out.
You're going to have to. We'll pick all the classes. I may be cheating on 3A the way I wrote it down. I'll tell you how next. Skinny on Sports are coming back to wrap up the week on a Friday.
Hello, my name is Scott Garrison. You may remember me as Scott the Barber or just as Ron and Carla's son. I've been involved in our community since opening Scott's Barbershop on the southeast corner of 3rd and Main in 1998. Now I'm back in the same building as Garrison Financial. I started investing in my 20s. I invested through the dot-com crash and the Great Recession. I started caring for other people's money in 2018, and I truly enjoy sitting down with my clients, understanding their wants and needs as well as what keeps them up at night. Whether my friends just want me to invest a little of their savings or want me to work with their tax and legal professionals to strive towards optimal efficiency, we can do it all. I believe communication is key to helping my clients reach their goals. For if we are faithful over a few things, we shall be given more. Contact me at scott@soonerwealth.com. Securities offered through registered representatives of Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Garrison Financial and Cambridge are not affiliated. This communication is strictly intended for individuals residing in the states of Colorado, Nevada, Oklahoma, and Texas. No offers may be made or accepted from any resident outside the specific states referenced. Cambridge does not offer tax and legal advice.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports on a Financial Friday, a Garrison Financial Friday. Scott Garrison was in here with us earlier talking NIL. He can help you with anything. He can manage your investments, or if you like to kind of dabble and you like to pay attention to what's going on in the financial world, he can charge you hourly to help build you a plan, and then you manage it from home. He loves to work with the accountant, your accountants, and the for the tax ramifications and streamline those for your best interest. Full financial planning, shop the open market to bring you the best value on your life insurance and investments. That's Garrison Financial with Scott Garrison, corner southeast corner of 3rd and Main. What do you say, 128 Main, 124? I meant to write it down,
look,
but I didn't have
drums.
My pen. I didn't have my pen in my hand. 124 or 128. I bet
look for the drums in the display window.
Also, send him an email, scott@soonerwealth.com. 128 is what I think he said. But I had my handy-dandy pen in my hand. I would have wrote it down right fast. Also,
it's not on the live read?
No. Southeast. He's at southeast corner of 3rd and Main. Then all of a sudden, he had an address.
Oh, okay. Okay.
It's right there at the corner.
Yeah, you can't miss it.
Let's go 128.
Hey, real quick, have you seen the cameras?
The cameras.
Yeah, the live cameras around.
Oh, yeah, I did see that.
It's pretty neat. thinking of, speaking of downtown, you can see one downtown. You can see one, I think it's on top of City Hall, and it kind of, and they all rotate. They can move them. I've seen them.
Yeah, live 360.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I like it.
I saw the live 360 truck. The worker guys, the worker bees,
working on it.
No, getting breakfast this morning.
Oh, okay.
Also, don't forget, you still got a week to sign up for the Western Oklahoma Realty College Pick'em Contest. 10 games a week against the spread. We'll keep track. ESPN's website will keep track all year long. I do see that the defending champ has returned.
Oh, got to defend that title.
Andy Pfeffer is back. So.
Oh, did we forget to mention the rules? You cannot win in back-to-back years. Sorry, Andy.
We did not mention those rules because they are not in effect.
Oh.
We gave him the first one. I'll just win from here on out. Thank you to Tyler Harrison, Robbie Allen, and all the game at Western Oklahoma Realty. People before property is their motto. It's fun. It's a lot of fun to get in there and play that. So get signed up. ESPN's website through the fantasy portal. Or we've got the Skinny on Sports Facebook page has a link right to it. Okay, Jared. Do you want to go from smallest class to largest or largest class to smallest?
Well,
or do you want to skip around? What do you want to do?
What have I always said?
I don't know.
It's the Skinny on Sports. It's not Jared on Sports. You
okay.
pick.
Okay, so I'm just going to fire one out then. We'll probably end with 4A, right?
That's a good idea.
4A and A. We'll end with 4A and A. So, all right, the one I knew the least about, Class C.
There you go. Me too.
Who you got in Class C?
I went with Timberlake. I think it was down between like Timberlake and Tipton. I went Timberlake.
I should have never looked at Squirtle this morning. Timberlake only won 28-26 against Covington Douglas.
I saw that too.
Covington Douglas is a Class B school, though. So then I used the handy dandy Vibe magazine to see who was back for each.
I leaned on that a lot too.
I went Tipton. Several starters back from a team that played in Class B the last couple years, so they're back down to C.
Okay.
I went Tipton, but that was the two that I kind of debated. Class B.
I think we'll agree on Laverne.
No, we won't.
Okay. I will say Laverne, though.
We will not agree on Laverne. Probably should have, but I didn't. I went with Sealing.
Sealing!
7 of the 8 starters back on both sides of the ball. Not in the same district as Laverne, Shattuck, and Balco.
You're telling me they play other sports there than girls basketball?
It turns out they do.
Wow.
I'm going to go with Sealing, but I'm probably going to regret that choice. And not saying Laverne. Or even Balco Forgan. They were number one in the Vibe magazine. They were have a bunch of guys back. And they had the extra motivation, because I wrote them down first and then changed. They had the extra motivation of being the runner-up to Laverne in the title game last year.
Can I give you a dark horse in Shattuck? Is that even a dark horse?
No. No.
Well, I say it like that because
– Alabama's a dark horse this year.
Well,
they didn't win it last year.
Two were not picking them. Three new head coach – new head coach, and I love the guy. I think he's a great coach in Jacob Schneeberger.
Okay, let's go to Class 3A.
Okay.
Who you got?
I'm going to say Heritage Hall gets back to the top.
I did HH.
You went Hall and Hall, did you?
Or Heritage Hall. I get them both.
See, that doesn't work.
I either have the two-time defending champ or Heritage Hall. No, I did HH. For Heritage Hall. I agree. Even though they lost Gavin Freeman, it feels like it's kind of their turn to get back. They lost in the semifinals 3 straight years to Lincoln Christian. Maybe that's the team we both should have picked.
Keep an eye on Lincoln Christian, yeah.
And then Verdigris could be a semifinal rematch between those four as it was last year. Let's go up to Class 6A2.
Again, leaning on the Vibe a lot, but we talk about returning. And 6A2 feels like it could be wide open because Bixby's not there anymore. I'll say Choctaw because they return a heck of a lot of players.
I was going to say Booker T.
I wanted to do that. But
I went with Stillwater and Gage Gundy.
Yeah.
Just because of Gage Gundy, I guess.
Well, he's arguably the best quarterback in the state right now.
Arguably, yeah. 2A.
Another class I don't know a lot about. I went with Rejoice Christian.
Oh.
Listen, when you get around that 3A, 2A, and it's kind of hard to go away from the private schools.
I would agree with that.
So I went with Rejoice
Christian. I did, though. I went Washington. 15 starters back, including Major Cantrell, the quarterback, Cole Scott, the running back. I went with Washington. 5A.
5A, a team we will see in Carl Albert. They get back to the top. After not playing for a title in the first time in how many years?
They won five straight.
Yeah. So I think Carl Albert gets back there.
I went Carl Albert, but I really wanted to pick McAllister.
Yeah.
But I went Carl Albert. Reed DeQuasey, the quarterback, threw for over 2,000, ran for over 600 a year ago. That's got to be Brent DeQuasey's son, right? Remember him?
Has to be.
From back in the day at OU? I went with him, with Carl Albert, a big part because of him. 6A1.
6A1. Now, this is almost a 50-50 toss-up between Jinx and Bixby, right? Jinx, the defending champ, and they're Jinx. They're the Trojans. They're always there. Here's Bixby with this incredible run, but now they're up in the largest class in the state. I think Bixby wins this thing.
I've got Bixby.
I think it keeps going.
It's hard to pick against Jinx, but I've got Bixby.
It is very hard to pick against
Jinx. Our man, Coach Dustin's been playing along with us. He's got Washington as well in 2A. He had McGinnis in 5A.
McGinnis
is another one right there. I mean, that 5A, if it's not the Carl Albert dynasty restarting, I think there's a bunch of different options. Deer Creek is there as well. We mentioned McAllister.
There's
a bunch of different options. Collinsville.
Isn't it funny how we mentioned the scheduling, how Elk City and Clinton schedule just, I know we kind of rehashing this, but they kind of mirror each other. Elk City playing Carl Albert, Clinton playing McGinnis. Isn't that crazy?
Canadian and Heritage Hall.
For sure. It's crazy.
All right. Class A.
Class A. I'll go with Cashin.
Cashin lost a ton.
Did they?
They did lose a ton. So did Ringling.
Thanks, Captain Bringdown. I appreciate that.
And for that reason, I went with, and I heard a guy call in to Jim's show the other day and try to make a case, and it was like he called the wrong show, trying to make a case for a certain Class A football team to be the best one. And it was Gore, the Pirates. Gore brings back 10 starters on each side of the football. They've been very good. You're looking at me like I'm weird. They've been really, really good. I think they were undefeated going into the playoffs last year. Just to be different than Ringling or Cashin. I wrote down Ringling and scribbled it out when I saw Gore had 10 starters back. And Ringling has like one on defense.
Yeah, they've always been there, and so
probably doesn't
Cashin
matter.
And listen, at this level, it's those perennial teams that seem to always rise to the top. It's why it's hard for me to go away from those.
Oh, no doubt. And that's why I feel bad about my picks, because I went away from a bunch of
you
them.
You did.
I know. It usually doesn't work that way.
Good for you going out on a limb.
Yeah. Those limbs, I probably just sawed my own self off of it. Shout out Tom Mike. Okay, 4A. Who you got in 4A?
Okay, now this is where I lean on a lot of returning starters, and I think you know where I'm going. A lot of people like Piedmont. A lot of people like Wagner.
Poto.
Okay. A lot of people like them, and a lot of people like Wagner to get back, because they return a lot too and have a talented core there. But I'll go with Cushing, because we saw them in person, and that they're fast. If they can learn to handle getting punched in the mouth, I think I'm going to credit Mark Rogers saying that. I think he said it, because – when teams like us went there and punched them in the mouth with the run game, and Wagner will do that, if they can handle that, they definitely have the talent and the returning depth to make a deep run. I think they do. I think they get mature after a year, and I'll give it to Cushing. How about you?
I went the exact same way, but the one thing that scares me to death about that is what you just said, what we saw. And being able to handle physicality that you know Wagner will have, you know Poto will have, mm-hmm. you know down the line, Clinton, Elk City,
yeah,
Tuttle, Blanchard,
yeah.
some of those teams, you know, within their own district from a year ago. Now they've switched it into District 3 with Wagner. That's a game that I'll have my eye on. I think it's like week 6 or 7 when those two teams play. I think that'll be a game that's really interesting to me, because from the flash and the skill standpoint, nobody can touch them with what they've got coming. They've got everybody back.
Yeah.
Blaise Berlewitz, he's thrown for almost 6,000 yards in his career. That's going to be, you know, upwards of 9 probably by the time this season's over. You could see him easily throwing for 3,000 yards in the regular season. I think he did it a year ago. Camden Crooks, one of the receivers, is uber athletic. Forget about Noah Jones in the backfield. He can do a lot of things. Lane Yount was another one of the receivers. That part of it, they've got in spades. And you're right. Can they hold up against, you know, the more physical teams? You're older. You're stronger. You're presumably faster. I like them, but it's kind of – I think it's probably one of those things, if we wouldn't have seen them with our own eyes, I don't know if either one of us would be picking them. But we actually saw it.
Yeah.
And listen, Billy, you can
– Well, what you said, we saw
it. We saw it.
But and here's the deal.
And they were – I mean, I did not see Tuttle with my own eyes, but I promise you – that Cushing team was every bit as good as them. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no doubt that they were a fantastic, fantastic team.
But the problem with Tuttle –
with everybody back.
And here's where I'm going, and I'll end with this. The problem with Tuttle and the problem with Cushing, you know what they did? They ran to a team from 4A1. Remember back in the day, our day, when that was
the toughest
district because it was all about toughness.
That's very true.
And that's what happened in those games. Elk City, again, punched him in the mouth, ran right at him, wore him out, and played sound defense. Clinton did the same thing to Tuttle in the title game.
Yep.
Man, I hope that's a thing that's going to continue in 4A1 across the board. I want that opinion of 4A1 to be, that's the toughest district. Are they the best district? Could they be the toughest? When playoffs come around, oh, you got a 4A1 team? Uh-oh. Get ready. Get the ice bath ready. They're going to beat you up front. They're going to punch you.
Yeah, it's almost like both of us just took the Lincoln Riley soft approach over the SEC.
With Cushing.
Yeah, the SEC.
And it felt like we were describing a Lincoln Riley OU team when we were talking about Cushing right there.
It reminded me.
Fast and finesse, but man, once you got punched, look out. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean.
Now let's see if they can punch back. Let's see if they can take a punch.
Interesting. It will be interesting because. There is no way in the world that team last year was a one and done in the playoffs. They should have never gotten beaten. It happened, and it's not like the Elks fluked their way to that win. They just got a tough draw because that was a semifinal type team easily, in my opinion, that just ran into the wrong team in round one. You know, if they get third in that district instead of second, they absolutely beat Bethany. 100%. I don't know who they play next, but they absolutely beat Bethany. Or whoever
yeah,
else they
yeah,
could have played. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that was where it was a little bit rough for them. And they don't have the results from last year that they really should have because they just ran into the Elks that played better that night.
Yeah.
All right, it's going to be fun.
Yes,
6:30 pregame show for a 7 o'clock kick. Big Elks and Altus, BigElkTV.com, also Cool 94 for radio. Right here on this station, we'll have the Merritt Oilers, Hinton Comets, exact same time, 7 o'clock for the kickoff there. Blake and Travis, they got all learned up yesterday. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy the football and be safe.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered early.